Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to A Celtic State of Mind. I'm Paul Dombikes, and this afternoon I am delighted to be joined. I'm joined by Kev McCluskey and also by Chris McElwain. We are going to be talking about the Scottish Cup semi-final that not only went to extra time, but penalties as well. Loads to discuss, guys. Loads to discuss. I mean, you know what? We'll start at the end and work our way back, I think. Joe Hart taking that fifth penalty. He seemed full of the joys this afternoon. Like he was having a wee game of football in the park. He wasn't that nervous about it. He was joking with the guys taking the penalties. He was winking after he missed his own. He was a lot cooler than you and I think, Chris.
Oh, this is not good for your health, right? This is just not good for your health.
Right, does anybody enjoy penalty shootouts? Seriously?
No. No, and you know, see when the fifth penalty came up and I thought, right, you know, who's going to take it? You know, who's got a cool head? And I'm like, hang on a minute, what's Joe doing? what's Joe going up? He's going up to check the goal line or something. He's going up to do a bit of gamesmanship. No, he's taking a penalty. I was just like, what? What's going on? Yeah, that was tough. But you know what? I mean, listen, you know, the first thing I want to say is, commiserations to Aberdeen, give them all the credit in the world. They made that, I mean, for a semi-final, what a match that was. And I'm sure, you know, none of us are neutrals, but I'm sure from a neutral standpoint, that was an absolute cracker. But yeah, it's always horrible to see any team lose in a penalty shootout, except for maybe one that we'll not mention. But I think I feel more relief than happiness at getting through that, because there were points in that match where I didn't think it was going our way. And penalties is, I think Jim Moore mentioned it earlier on the wee group chat that we have. It's a lottery, and it is a lottery. You know, you could be the best player in the world, you can still go up there and miss a penalty. And as we've seen, you know, even somebody who I think had a cracking game, Joe Hart, went up there, you know, brave enough to go up and take the penalty, but missed it. And I think that'd have been a really cruel, horrible thing to happen in his last season with us. So I'm personally delighted for him. He redeemed himself with the save, which is ultimately what you wanted me to do in a penalty. And yeah, well done to all the boys that played. But I don't think that's a match I'll look back on fondly, if I'm honest. I don't think I'll look back on that match with a huge amount of a huge amount of happiness and fondness for it. That was a tough slog, particularly in that second half.
It was tough. And I'm trying to pull as many positives as I can, because there have been so many disappointments during the 90 minutes, the 30 minutes and the penalty shootout, of course. A couple of things I'm going to point out in relation to Joe Hart is fair play for stepping up. I remember when Celtic's penalty record dropped to about 50% this season, and we were wondering who's going to take our penalties. And someone shared on Twitter a penalty kick taken by Joe Hart when he was playing for Man City. And it was just absolute postage stamp stuff. It was amazing. So when he stepped up, I thought, this is one of the things, one of the fairy tales that we see time and time again with Celtic. And he hits the post. Kev, there's always that thing going into penalty shootouts. There's going to be a villain. You know, there's going to be a villain. And often I've heard people saying, the goalie is the only guy that can't be a villain. He almost was, though, Kev.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I'm just really glad that you asked Chris to go first in the post-match there, because that's given me a wee bit of time to try and compose myself after that. That was... I can't use one of the phrases that's on the ban list, so we'll say that was like a ride in the doldrums or something like that. You know, we were put through every single emotion during 90 minutes, then half hour of extra time, and then the Celtic and penalty shootouts, you never ever feel confident at any point. Yeah, we'll talk about the rest of the game, I'm sure, as we go on, but what a brilliant advert that whole game was for Scottish football, right? Because it was amazing, to be fair. And the penalty shootout, I mean, if the game itself didn't have enough that happened in it, the penalty shootout, you could write books about that probably. It's unreal. So many different twists and turns. Yeah, keeper probably the one that normally gets away from a penalty shootout being, you say, can't be the villain, they're always the hero. Joe did his best to change that narrative. Kind of bizarre choice for him to take it. It's almost that vote of it's his last season with us, so let him have this fantastic moment. It wasn't the time or the place for it, because it could so easily have gone so terribly wrong, because with them missing that. But then fair play to Hart for stepping up, I suppose, we'll give him that. But Johnson and Iwata afterwards, I mean, the coolness and the composure of both of their penalties was out of this world, considering the pressure that they must have been under. So it kind of makes you wonder why we didn't have them in the first five. But, you know, I suppose at the end of it all, the only thing that really matters is that the name of Celtic is going to be in the cup final.
Of course.
By hook or by crook, the important thing is we're there. We can put that 120 minutes behind us, focus on the next few league games, try and get a league wrapped up, and then be in prime condition for our cup final and potentially a double. You never know. But, you know, again, as a famous man once said, football, bloody hell.
I'm trying to figure out who that famous man was. There's loads of great comments coming in. You were waiting a long time for this full-time bulletin, because I took it upon myself to set it up, you know, between Jamesy Forrest scoring what looked like the winning goal and then Sokos scoring the equaliser in the 90th minute for Aberdeen. We're going to be talking about all of that stuff, as well as the penalty shootout. We're going to be talking about what some people are saying in the comments section was a shambolic substitution, bringing on Novrosky when they brought him on. You know, you're a genius if you win the game. If you don't, then you're not. Talk about all the good stuff that happened during that game. And I want to start off, once I've brought a few of these comments up, I want to start off, actually, by talking about Cameron Carter-Vickers. Because, Kev, you're right, we're in the next round. If you ever choose to watch that game back, watch the performance of Carter-Vickers. He was an absolute warrior. And near the end of the game, the balls he was winning in the air, even that moment where he thought he might have given away a penalty kick, there was a moment where he's got the ball off the line. He was unbelievable. If we win that game in normal or extra time, he's getting held aloft on the shoulders of his teammates. It's just that it's gone to penalties, and you're so focused on the penalty shootout, you tend to forget it. Carter-Vickers, Chris, was unbelievable throughout.
Yeah, how many times have we said it, right? He's a class apart, I think, in that back line. And look, you know, he did a couple of shaky moments earlier in the game. We spoke about him at half-time, where we were caught out early doors, but the chances, and again, you know, you give credit to Aberdeen for this, for really making a game and having a go, but that allowed Carter-Vickers to demonstrate that kind of defensive warrior prowess that he had in the box there, the, you know, last-ditch tackles. I mean, I probably, like, I had my heart in my mouth when, you know, that the decision went to VAR. And look, you know, I think the issue is with that there's a precedent set that we've seen penalties given for that sort of thing. And I would say with full confidence that I think the rules are applied correctly in that decision. It's just that we've seen so many occasions where the rules haven't been applied correctly this season that gives you the fear that penalty is going to be given. And while I think it would have been unfair, I also think, you know, we've got to take our share of bad decisions as well. We can't just all be always be the victims. But do you know what? It went for us. I'm delighted. I think, you know, some of the last-ditch tackles that were coming in there, you know, we needed a leader at the back, particularly with Carmack going off, and I think Carter Vickers proved that today. I think on the other side of the spectrum, I think second half in particular, and we've spoken about it a few times this season, I think Scales, Taylor, maybe to a wee extent, penalty aside, some of the good stuff he did today, AJ as well with the marking out and that right-hand side, those guys need to step up under pressure. We seem to get fragile towards the end of games. And Aberdeen's goals today were carbon copies of each other. You know, the ball down their left, our right, the ball across, heading in there, and you're expecting your centre-back and your left-back to combine to clear that ball. Or even earlier than that, you're expecting your right-back to be closer to that man to stop him getting across in. And how many times do we get caught out by it in a final? So a lot of people, we were trying to extol Scales' virtues at the start of the game and at half-time, and I think, yeah, look, let's give him all the credit in the world for the season he's had. But when you see the contrast between Carter Vickers' performance and Scales' performance in that second half, the disparity is alarming. You know, he's good, he's decent. We don't need good and decent. We need top class at the back. And I think that's the difference. So, look, I'm not going to denigrate the guy. I'm not going to give him a real hard time. But when you see the pressure Aberdeen was putting on us there, you need someone that can step up to Carter Vickers' level. And we go to Europe, we absolutely need that as well. But domestic, you know, semi-finals and finals, I think he was showing up a bit there.
I think what's happened, Chris, is the way that we play the game has completely changed. Joe Hart has got an event at Celtic Park tomorrow night. We've been invited along to the press event beforehand. And one of the questions I was going to ask him is how things have changed in terms of the fact that we have to defend a hell of a lot more than we did under Ange, because we pressed so high up the park. Everything was attack, attack, attack. And there's a couple of differences now. I think Joe Hart has actually benefited from it because he doesn't have to spend a lot of time with the ball at his feet. But what's happened to the two fullbacks you mentioned there, Johnson and Taylor, who looked brilliant under Ange Postecoglou, as inverted fullbacks, are playing far more like fullbacks. You have to defend. And a big part of that defensive area that they're not good at is when the ball's flighted in. We've seen it today so many times. Johnston, for me, in the last few weeks, has been brilliant going forward. I mean, the link-up play between him and Kuhn has been tremendous. He was great again today. He obviously set up the goal that Matt O'Reilly scores. He gets the assist. Brilliant. Absolutely great going forward. But we really are fragile, like you say. And it's gone from having maybe a concern, let's remember last season, maybe a concern about one of our centre-halves, to having a concern about at least one of our full-backs and one of our centre-halves in terms of the defensive display. I mean, I'm looking at the goal that they opened up with this afternoon. It seems like a long time ago now. It was an excellent goal, right? It really was a really well-worked goal. If that's Celtic, if that's a Hatate pass and a Kyogo strike, you're thinking, we have cut them open. But from a Celtic perspective, you're thinking, wait a minute, they've caught you on the back foot. Miofsky's done it right until he was knackered and he had to come off. He's always finding that wee bit of space. He's sitting right in the middle of either Scales and Carter Vickers or Carter Vickers and Johnson. And he just done it so often today. And he was getting them on the back foot and he was getting in behind them. And he seemed to do it with relative ease, which was a concern for me. So the first goal, brilliant. But obviously, as Celtic fans, we're going to pinpoint the things we're not happy with. The second goal.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Was a shocking goal to lose. Now, when I'm looking at it, though, and at the time that we lose it as well, you know, 90 minutes on the clock, Jamesy Forrest is coming to be the hero. And I'm looking at the Palmer losing the ball in the first instance. And how often have I said, Kev, this season, the indiscipline of Palmer to protect that ball? You're 2-1 up. You're in the last minute of the game. He's actually got a runner. He can release the runner on the left wing and he loses. It's lazy. You know, it's complacent. That's what frustrates me about Palmer. And he loses the ball. But can I say, though, Scales has to be stronger at the back post. And how often have we said that this season, Kev? And it just really shone a light on some of the weaknesses that we've been talking about all season, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that second goal is it's a horror show from start to finish, really. And you can pinpoint things, you know, like Johnson needs to get closer to the man that crosses it in. But he's not set for it because I think we're coming out from having defended a corner or a free kick or something. So he's in probably the right position for, you know, stepping out. He doesn't expect that ball to come back so quickly because it's with Palmer, and Palmer should have the head on his shoulders to either hold that ball up, like you say, play the pass to the runner, or just, you know, play a safe ball. But he's got to try and play this worldie, and it's not the first time that he's tried something like that. It is an indiscipline that's in his game.
Yeah.
And it's cost us before. Never in quite as big an occasion, I don't think, is that. But as much as I'll say he's got a moment of genius in him, he'll score a great goal for us, he's also got those moments in it where, you know, he's the type of player. What was it we were talking about, the Bernardo Hatate debate before the Rangers game? Bernardo was the safe option for a lot of people because he might not win you the game, but he wasn't going to lose it. Palmer's exactly that opposite type of player. He could win you the game, but he can also lose you a game with moments like that. And he cost us winning the game in the 90 minutes without a shadow of a doubt. And then after that, like I say, I'll say Johnson's safe in my book because he's in the right position to defend the first phase of the play. But once the ball comes in, it's all, for me, it's all on Scales. Got to say it. He knows that Sockler is there. He's following him for a little bit and then he just lets him get blindsided. And as you see it when the ball goes over Scales' head, when he turns around, he's in almost surprised that the guy's moved in behind him into the space. So I think it's really poor defending from him. I wouldn't lay too much on Taylor for that one either. For me, it's Scales' ball, it's the centre back's ball to win that one. You had spoken about Carter Vickers just a few minutes before. So if you flip that cross, if it comes from the other side, I think Carter Vickers would be in the position to get a flick on it and clear it away. And that's the difference. And then the third goal, when we get to that, it's the exact same. It's a carbon copy. It's the same cross in the same area, and it's not defended by the same player. He hasn't learned his mistake. And that's a sickener. And to be fair, you know, at that point, I feel Aberdeen deserve to win the game at that point because they've come from behind twice so late on and they've never given up. So I feel pretty, you know, a lot of sympathy for them about that, but obviously quite delighted that we did manage to see it through in the end.
Kev, can I just jump in, right? Because see what you're saying there, that sounds like the right thing to say. I have no sympathy for them. I'm sorry, right? See, when I was watching that penalty shootout, right? No, I'm saying you sound like a really good guy for saying it, right? And I'm sorry, I just can't say it. See, when I'm watching that penalty shootout and you've got a young Aberdeen player stepping up, and you're thinking, imagine missing a penalty in the semi-final of Scottish Cup, how that could affect your entire career. I hope to God he misses it. I don't care. Like, honestly, I'm just so focused on Celtic. I'm sorry, mate, if I'm going to be the nasty guy, I'm sorry, Kev.
No. Absolutely.
I have no sympathy when we beat anybody. I've got no sympathy.
When your man steps up, Duncan, to take that last penalty, I'm praying that he misses it. And, you know, he's maybe a really promising player and this could be the moment that ends his career. Sadly, I don't really care that much about him as an individual.
Good, we turned him round, Chris.
I feel sorry for maybe the fans or something like that, you know, because you think about if it was the other way around, like, they've put so much into coming back into that as the underdogs as well.
I never considered that.
I'm the villain, right?
I'm the villain. No, seriously, it's the ruthlessness. And you know what? I'm going to tie it into the Palmer.
And you need
right?
that. You need the ruthlessness, actually. So
exactly. And I don't think Palmer's got it. I don't think Yang's got it. Let's not forget how poor he was before he was hooked. Mm. I think you need to have a ruthless streak in you to be a winner all the time. You know, it's not like, oh, it's your shot. You know, I hate when people are saying, oh, but, you know, they deserve it. They've not won for ages. I don't care. I want to win everything all the time. And every time we don't win, it's not being elitist or entitled. It's just that that's the way it is. It's not a bounce game. It's sport, but it's a battle every single time. And I have absolutely no sympathy for anybody associated with Aberdeen Football Club. I'm sorry if that upsets anybody who's tuned in. I just want Celtic to win every single time. Right, there you go. There's my true colours. Brendan McKeown. Can someone tell Brendan Rodgers to stop making substitutions when we look like scoring? Can I ask you about the Forest one? Did Forest pull up, Chris? Was that been confirmed? Was that an injury? Or was it a tactical thing?
I've not been able to find out yet. Part of me was kind of a little bit wondering, is he taking him off to give him a round of applause because he thinks he's got the game won? And I thought, surely not. You know, surely, goodness, not. And then you're bringing on Navrochka, I'm thinking, okay, he's going to shore it up. But really, there's ideally, there's only a minute or two to go. You know, why would you shake anything up if you only got a minute or two? So I was a bit confused by that. I didn't see him pull up, and I really hope he hasn't. But I did see that there was one point he made a run into the box, took a wee bit of a heavy tackle to get the ball. And he looked as though he was struggling when he was getting back up. And I thought, oof, you know, is that him done now? Is that him going to be out for the season, you know, jokingly? But actually, when he was taken off, maybe he has tweaked something. So I sincerely hope not, because, and we've spoken about some of the guys who we weren't too impressed with today, but we've been talking about the impact Forrest can make, between now and the end of the season in both competitions. Well, there is the prime example. You know, the guy came on, I thought he was a class act when he came on. I thought, you know, he came on a bit earlier than what I was expecting, although I think the substitution had to be made. James Forrest, take a bow, son. That was incredible. Within about 5 minutes, he'd made three shots and goals, scored one of them. I thought his play, his willingness to get up there. Look, his pace is gone. You can see it. His pace is not what it was. It's very evident. You know, he's not going to be the guy that's going to chase around and do the Maeda job. But his movement, his intelligence, the build-up play, you know, he tried a couple of wee invention, sort of base shots, you know, one where they tried to cut it on with the outside of the boot. It was a fact, it was something we didn't see for the first half. You know, he was trying to get the shots on target. I know I was notified on Twitter that Celtic fan Dominic Diamond had made a point. He said, you know, you don't put shots in, you don't score. You know, and I thought, well, it's a logical, fair point, right? I mean, why are we not hitting shots? Because you might get a deflection, you might get a, you know, a handball, a penalty, or, you know, you might actually score. You know, so take the shots. And it's one of the frustrations today I found is that we got into, with quite a few players, we get into positions where we could hit the shot, and we were so slow at pulling the trigger. You know, it was almost like we were waiting for the ball to just be in the exact perfect position to hit the shot. I'm like, come on, just put your foot through it, son. And that was a bit of a concern, but going back to James Forrest, I thought, what an impact. That's what we need between now and the end of the season, is people are going to come in, take a bit of responsibility, drag the team, you know, by the coattails up into the ascendancy. You know, absolutely brilliant. I can't fault him today at all. And I really hope he's not injured, because I think he's going to play a huge, huge part.
Well, this is an interesting thing. We spoke about Forrest leading into the game. There was a blog written about him as well. Go and check it out. About the fact that he's not going to start games, but he's going to play his part. And I don't know who it was in the comments, so please flag it up if it was you. At the beginning of the show today, you said James Forrest will score a big goal for us this season. And he did score a big goal. And it looked as though it was going to be the winning goal as well, which was a bit of a shame. Everybody that's coming in on the comments section, thank you for supporting what we're doing here. We're about 1,700 deep in a live stream. We've got about 10 minutes left. Let us know your thoughts about today. Not a vintage performance, but I said 3 weeks ago, Kevin, I think I've given us some kind of hoodoo here. I said we're going to have to score three goals every game. Didn't I say that? In the last three games, we've scored three goals. Unbelievable. And over the next six games, we now know we've got six games to play. I honestly believe, due to two different elements here, that Celtic need to score three goals. The first one is, we've always got that wee mistake in the back, or big mistake. And also, there's going to be a dodgy decision here and there. I think we did okay today when it comes to the dodgy decisions, so Kev, would you agree with that?
I absolutely would, yes. The one at the end of the first half of the first half was I've still not seen a clear replay of that one to know if Scalen's handball was inside the box or outside the box. And then there's always the argument of like his arm's probably in a natural position. So I think we get away with that one legitimately. It's probably not an actual offence. The one, though, with Carter Vickers, I think that's a penalty. The foul that's given against Johnson, I don't think it's a foul. It's two boys challenging for the ball. Maybe we've seen those kind of offences given, but it doesn't make it a foul, in my opinion. I think we got off really, really lucky with that one. Because then Carter Vickers does foul his man. So as much as he might have done really, really well and put in one of those kind of almost colossal type performances that he puts in where he blocks everything that comes his way, he could have ended up being the villain by giving away that late penalty, which would have been kind of unfair on him with his overall performance. But I think we really, really did get away with one there that to me was a penalty. But it's an unusual occurrence that we would end up getting the decision going our way. So, yeah, we'll sit here week after week and complain at decisions that didn't go our way, and we get, you know, told that we're just moaning about stuff and we should get on with the game. We've got one today. We'll move on from that as well.
We'll take it. Absolutely. Now, Tony reminds us that there's only one Arthur Boric, and you're right, Tony. When Arthur steps up, he puts them away. 100%. I'll maybe say that to Joe tomorrow as well. He's actually quite a big guy. I'll not say that at all. Chilfil, our penalties were all excellent except Joe's. They were. I mean, you look at that, right? The commentator had some kind of thing. They kept going back to the 1990 Scottish Cup final. And people remember Antoine Rogan for being the villain, for missing the penalty. Chris, can you remember who missed Celtic's first penalty? It was 9-8. Celtic missed two penalties. We missed the first kick. Can you remember?
I do remember the Rogan miss because I think I tore his picture out of the Panini sticker because I did the
time. Poor Antoine.
You know, because of it. It was like I don't know who missed it.
See, this is it. You always think about Antoine Rogan. But the other guy that missed the penalty, Kev, you want to jump in? Can anybody in the comments tell me? It's just a wee bit unfair on Antoine, isn't it?
Mark McGee.
No. It wasn't Mark McGee. It was Darius Dovcek. He missed our first kick that day, and he almost gets away. There you go. Somebody got it. He almost gets away with it scot-free because Anton missed the big one. In fact, it was a save by Theo Snelders, if I remember rightly. I hated that game. But yeah, we stepped up, and the goal scorers were Ida, Palma, O'Reilly, Bernardo, Johnston, and Iwata. They all took their kicks. They all scored. I want to talk a wee bit, though, about Matt O'Reilly because he gets a goal 105 minutes into that game, Chris, and he looks as though he's won us the game again. He's a guy that, for some reason, has come in for a bit of flack recently. If it hadn't been for maybe the last couple of months, he was a runaway for the player of the year this year. He's had a fantastic season. He's broken into the Denmark national team. We've knocked back a couple of bids from Fenerbahce, I think it was, and Atletico Madrid. He is a guy who has got a bit of stick recently. He stepped up today, I think we were a wee bit critical at half-time about the midfield. Obviously, Atati goes off, McGregor goes off. O'Reilly was that one constant today, and I felt that he done really, really well.
Yeah, I actually thought at one point we weren't doing him any favours because I thought he looked absolutely knackered. And I thought, what does this guy have to do to get a rest in games? You know, why is he always the one that's left on to carry the can? Well, there's the answer, right? Because he steps up in the big moments and he produces when the chips are down. And it reminds me very much of the...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're a different style of player and different attributes, but he reminds me very much of Tom Rogic that way. He's a man that sometimes will step up when you just don't expect it. And I thought took the goal really well at a point in the game where he must have been pretty much dead in his feet. And then, you know, to have the mentality and the coolness to slot the penalty away, actually, later on. I mean, that he must have been the calmest person in the entire stadium to do that. So, yeah, and I agree with Danielle. Still in the frame for the Player of the Year. I think there's a couple of candidates, but I would still, for his overall contribution this year, I think he's maturing as a player all the time. His career trajectory is only going to go one way, in my opinion, and that's a word. So I think he's, for me, been the most consistent player in terms of what he has brought to the season. You know, the big moments, winning games, brilliant assists, just a reliable top player. And you know, I would love to keep him beyond the summer. I'm realistic enough to know he's going to be attracting a lot of interest, and moments like today are not going to dilute that. And I think he'll be a really hard guy to replace in the summer. I know we've got positions like goalkeeper, left back, areas we need to focus on. How do you replace a guy that's had the impact of Matt O'Reilly on not just this season but the past couple of seasons? It's not going to be. I don't think there's a transfer fee that we'll get that will allow us to bring in a player of that quality.
No. And by the way, thanks everybody for tuning in. We are now sitting at 1,888 viewers. 1,888 quality. And if the game, if the emotions of the game, right, could be put into one message, if all the emotions that you felt during that entirety of that game could be put into one comment, I'm going to bring that one comment up, and it's from Kim Best, okay? So initially, she's wondering how her heart defibrillator didn't fire, right? And then, get it up you. And I think that's fair enough, Kim. I think that's fair enough to enjoy it after the nervousness of that Facebook user. Unfortunately, I don't know which one, because there's a wee registration process Facebook have added in here. Scales, Taylor Yang all need to be shown and done in the summer. We were talking about upgrading the type of player that Scales and Taylor is. I think Yang today was a big test, Kev. And I think that Brendan has shown a big bit of faith in starting him today. There were options there, and I don't think he's passed the test.
No, he's not. Like I say, I said at the start, he would have been my choice to play on the left because I think he's got something in him. He's got wee flashes of kind of brilliance within him. But today was maybe the third, fourth time this season that he's had a big, been involved in a big game and not shown up for it. So he's not at the level yet for us. I wouldn't say that he's never going to be at the level, but he needs probably a season out on loan somewhere where he can go and get experience. So maybe up to Aberdeen, maybe a Hibs if he stays in Scotland, somewhere like that where he'll get lots of game time and get used to the physical nature of the Scottish game. But for me now, I would say he's probably had that one chance too many, and I don't think we can really rely on him as a starter. But with Maeda being out, it leaves a big question mark over who you would play in the left now. Because I think Kuhn's got the right wing sorted. Forrest's a really good deputy to have there. Whether I would start him on the left now, I'm not sure. So it's back to Palmer. And we've just spoken about him, how hot and cold he can blow, and how he's a player that could potentially win or lose a game for you. So that now becomes a problem area in the park, I think, trying to pick who you play in the left. And I mean, if Chris keeps on going on and on about his option of playing Kyogo, why'd maybe somebody at Celtic Park will listen? And he might go out there.
I'm edging towards that, Kev. Listen, you know, I'm edging towards Kyogo on the left, either through the middle.
Yeah. It's now not as outlandish an idea as it might have been 2 weeks ago, let's say. Chris pointed it out in the first half. Actually, when there's one moment in the first half when Kyogo goes out wide left, and in those 5 seconds he's there, he did more than Yang did in the hour that he was on the park. And that says a lot. In a game like today, I felt we needed to get Ida up front. We needed his presence. It seemed like the game was going that way. But we also couldn't afford to take Kyogo out because the first goal doesn't happen if it's not for him, given the press on the defender. So maybe there's a way that we can fit them both in. And if left wing becomes the problem area, maybe that's how we do it. He'll go out on the left, either up top. Need to hope that somebody can find O, wherever he is, and see if he's fit to get him back on the bench, or Joey Dawson, or anyone from the B team, because we do still need another striker option to come in off the bench. But it's becoming more and more of an appealing option, I think, that Kewell could move there, because there's now probably not the confidence in the options of Yang or Palmer to be a regular starter on the left, and Forrest can't last a full 90. See, he's a better impact player these days.
There was a moment back in the 1990s, sorry guys, there's the Celtic Dark Laxon, when a player called Martin Hayes was locked in John Hewitt's car up at Barrafield, couldn't get out and missed training. And when Hewitt went back to the car, it was only then that anybody noticed that Hayes wasn't at training. And I think there is a car share going on at the moment. And I think has joined James McCarthy, Kobayashi and Segrist. They're all sharing cars. They're not making it anywhere. And nobody's noticed. I think that's where we are with you guys, to be fair. Stephen Jones.
I wonder where you were going with that one, but that's brilliant. Maybe that's where it is.
They're maybe going to train off at Barrafield. Stephen John, is that no cup football? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But we do tend to dig in and try and analyse what we could have done better, John. But yeah, I mean, by the way, I'm pretty sure it was a cracking game for anybody else watching it. Just not very good for our nerves. Dory, tiny hands. We were missing Maeda today. That's, I think, the big dilemma now, right? Some people might say that Scales at the back could be a dilemma for Rodgers, but Rodgers loves Scales. Scales will play. If he's fit, he will start the game. Simple as that. Nofroski will be on the bench unless Scales is unfit. It's the left wing that I think there's a big question mark around. Kaplow Mark, any pressure on us and we look fragile. The next five games are no way or formality. Chris, I'm going to say, right, this is a very good point by Kaplow Mark, but what I'm going to say is it's a timely reminder. Right, now, listen, we're allowed to get carried away. People sometimes say to me, reel it in, you're too confident. We're allowed to be confident. We're football fans. But Rodgers and some of the guys that are maybe new to that squad have just had a wee reminder, Chris. And I think that is pivotal at this time of the season.
Yeah. Sorry about the light, by the way. I'm getting divine intervention coming through the blinds here at the moment. I'm not sure if I should walk towards the light or not.
Don't do it.
But yeah, I think so. I mean, look, we've said it all along. As a football club, we're not entitled to beat anybody. It's disrespectful to the teams we play, and we should always go into every game with the maximum amount of effort and the maximum amount of commitment to go and win. Nothing is a given. And as a comment said there, nothing's a formality at the moment between now and the end of the season. Nor should it be at any point in the season. That's why I think today was such a big win, because we were as up against it as I've seen it in terms of just on the field stuff. I mean, I'm not bringing in, we can't look at referee decisions today, we can't look at, you know, gamesmanship, we can't look at any factors other than our performance on the park, plus up against what, as I've said, was a really up for opponent today in Aberdeen, and credit to them for that. But yeah, what this game is showing is that there are frailties, there's fragility in different areas of the park, there's maybe a lack of sufficient quality squad depth there. I think, you know, Kev's touched on it really well there with Yang and Palma. You know, they at the moment you wouldn't be putting your trust in them if you had any other options at that side. And I think that's a real big factor. You know, we've spoken about Scales and we've praised him for what he's done this season and what he's kind of, you know, the position he's been put into and how he stepped up to the mark. But again, today you see that there's levels that you need in certain positions, particularly in the first team. And maybe that level is just a wee step beyond his eventual capability. So we need to go above there. You know, we've spoken about Taylor all season, you know, and yeah, like I said, there's physical attributes he simply can't change. You can't make yourself taller. If you could, then I'd have done it years ago. But the fact is that other teams are recognising that now. They're recognising there's a vulnerability there. So what are we doing to try and address that? You know, other teams are seeing it and exploiting it. Why is our management team not seeing it and trying to address that vulnerability? And yeah, I mean, look, we you know, I would like to see Kyogo going up onto the left and Ida playing up front, although I don't think Ida had his best game today. You know, he fluffed a few chances.
He did.
And he was also, as a lot of people pointed out, he was limping after he took his penalty. I mean, I have to say credit to him going up and taking a penalty, but it looked as though he could barely walk after it. So actually, maybe that decision will be taken out of our hands. Maybe Ida will be, you know, struggling for the next game or so. So we've got to get through to the end of this season with what we've got, right? We don't have the opportunity to go and bring in other players. We can't fundamentally improve the squad, and we've got to try and manage our injuries as best we can. But I think there are areas of concern within the team. And look, we're through to the final. I'm positive. It's a great result. I don't want to be, you know, ending on a negative here. I just think that game was an eye-opener for us as well as, you know, potentially other teams. So we need to take a wee look at ourselves. What are the areas where we're still vulnerable, and how do we address those vulnerabilities so that we can get this title over the line and get into the final and win the final of the Scottish Cup and get this double? You know, we need big guys like Joe Hart, big players. We need our captain backfiring all cylinders. We need our talismanic striker and Kyogo and guys like Hatate playing well. We need guys that couldn't are stepping up. I think, you know, we need to keep on that trajectory. So it's gonna be a big end to the season. I'm looking forward to it despite the fact I'm drenched in sweat and probably nearly 15 showers now. But yeah. Let's do it. Come on, it's in our hands. Let's do it.
You've got me worried now about Ida, because you're right, he was limping after that penalty kick. And as Kevin says, we don't have a great deal of backup when it comes to the central forward striker position. Opinionated Glaswegian, it's one-off semi-final. We won, end off, stop greeting. I agree with you, but that'd be a very short show. That'd be a very, very short show if that's what I came away with. No, I totally agree with that. Waheed Bob's the same. People bedwetting over the league. Get a grip and enjoy the win. I hope everybody goes out there tonight and enjoys the win, doing whatever you decide to do. We've got a few other ruthless commenters. CJ7, no sympathy for anyone who plays us. No mercy, says Craig. I'm going to watch the movie. 1980s classic. Mick agrees, as does Daniel Hamilton. Absolutely love it. And before we...
I write my own on that one then.
Yeah. Kev, do you know what? I missed a penalty in a charity match one time, so I'm with you on this. I had a horrendous feeling, and that was a charity game once, so I know the feeling.
Joe Hart was, I don't know, there was a sense of absolute, like, sheer, unbridled confidence about Joe Hart during that penalty shootout, which is bizarre when he actually steps up, misses the penalty, right, hits the post, and turns around and winks. Who's he winking at? Are you winking at all us, Joe? Who are you winking at when you turn around and do that? And then you need to go and save a penalty after that as well. And Uncle Nobby Steamboat comes in to say that he was spotted leaving Hampden Park. Thanks for your contribution, Uncle Nobby Steamboat. I really appreciate that. One final note for everybody to leave on. We've been digging the team out for things we didn't do so well today. We are in the cup final. And as the prophet says, you might want to have a wee sing-song later on. Don't worry, be happy. Absolutely. Thanks, 2,300 of you, for tuning in live. Thank you to Kevin McCluskey. Thank you to Chris McElwain. Enjoy your Saturday night. We'll see you at 12:30 on Monday afternoon on A Celtic State of Mind.
Network.